and welcome to episode 47 of Spellcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andrea.
Greetings, friends. Today, we are going to be talking about the up-and-coming holiday known as Mercuralia, the celebration of, you guessed it, the god Mercury. And the best thing about this is that it's double Mercury Day, because this year, it falls on a Wednesday,
his day. Perfect.
The middle of the week, in the middle of the month. It's absolutely fantastic when you think of the repetitive symbolism.
Yes, perfect. And so we're going to go a little bit over who Mercury is, what he is the god of, and I may even read an excerpt from the hymn to Mercury. I know that they can be a little long, so I'll probably just do an excerpt, and maybe I'll do a full reading for like Patreon or something.
And we will talk about as much traditional celebration as we can,
yes.
And we will also talk about what it is we as a coven do. Before we begin with that, though, we would certainly like to give our thanks to everyone who has consistently supported us. We just wanted to let you all know that Courtney and I, along with our other coven members, Ignatius included, we were part of an Emmy Award-winning story. We are now officially an Emmy Award-winning coven. A few years back, we did an excerpt called Beyond the Broomstick with News 12's Antoinette Biorti. And the wonderful cameraman, Anthony Florio.
Yes, it was a lot of fun, and I'm sure you guys probably saw my post on social media about it, but this is our official announcement on the podcast. So we're really happy to have been a part of that. I mean, it's, like he said, both of our first Emmys. It's Antoinette, the newscaster that did it for us. It was her second Emmy, so that's really awesome for her. Congratulations. We absolutely love working with her.
Very well deserved, and
yes.
An intelligent woman who is helping, quite literally, bridging the gap between people who don't quite understand what it is we do and what it is we feel and study, as opposed to, and the groups of people that are alienated. So really, building bridges between communities, building understandings, new schools of thought, new tradition, and, new ideas. And as Helen Keller said, one generation's heresy is the next generation's tradition.
Yes, and so we're really just thankful to have been a part of that. And she even held up one of our talismans from the Craft Crossroads while she accepted the award. And she is just adorable.
It was quite poetic. The Emmy that she had won, the Emmys that day was taking place on my birthday. So when I heard that, it's like, oh, well.
It was the best birthday present.
Yeah, most certainly. And we were also helping the De La Salle School at that time. So it's really always give back, friends. Ask the gods, to help you. And, you keep giving back. That energy keeps flowing. And more and more will come back. All concepts of momentum, egregore, things that we speak of very often.
Yes.
While we are on the topic of our successes and our thanks to those who support us, we also want to take the time to address people that might differ on opinions from us or maybe even have an issue with us.
Yes. Quick, what he's referring to, if anyone follows us on Twitter, I posted about it. It was just kind of, I wanted to keep up the positivity because although I know I shouldn't take things personally, we did have a bad review that did make me a little sad, to be honest. And I know that we're awesome and we should never let it get us down. And I had really good responses from people being like, oh, like you're great. Like, don't listen to them. So I do appreciate that. And that's kind of what we are addressing.
Oh, yeah. And just, a little bit, it's, and even like differences in opinion doesn't mean differences in approach from as a whole.
Yeah.
We have many debates with many different people. In fact, many of which have been on this podcast.
Yeah. And we're just looking for like constructive criticism. Not to say that like we're not like, I mean, please help us improve. That's what we want.
Yes.
It's just to only be, I think, rude and unhelpful is just not great. But of course, on the plus side, I'm just happy that we have so many people that give us awesome reviews and let us know how to improve and that what they like.
Yes. There was one particular person who had made it very clear that I guess they couldn't get into what it is we were talking about or how we were talking about it. So again, if there's any constructive criticisms, or if you wish to debate us personally, if you want to come on the podcast, or if you want to talk to us in an individual setting, you are more than welcome. I mean, there is a reason why we leave our emails. If there's something you disagree with entirely, or you have an issue with, or you have constructive criticism, please, by all means, speak to us. We won't chew your head off unless you give us a reason. I mean, I think that's the code of conduct and etiquette that we can all ascribe to. Now, I want to address that as of late, certain aspects of our podcast, and at least in the past few episodes, have probably been a little bit more jovial and at times even a bit crude. But if people want us to steer away from that, we certainly can. We just at times want to bridge gaps all over the place. There is a time to have a higher inflection, then there are times to be a little bit more crude and lowbrow. There is a balance of wit between buffoonery and boorishness, if we want to talk about the 12 virtues of Aristotle, which we will talk about in a connection with philosophy and the occult in general, both from a Western and Eastern perspective, in future episodes.
We should really get into stuff like that with, like, Pythagoras and then, like, you know, how it translates into just any sort of, like, ancient philosophy and math that goes into numerology and to all those things and do those connections and, like, astrology, like, you know, the basis of astrology, where that came from. And just, I think that would be really cool.
We will also state things that are this, I don't know why anyone would be angry about this or have an issue with it unless you're this some sort of perfectionist who's never really worked in any sort of system.
Oh.
I heard somebody, somebody complained that they one time heard yawning over the microphone. I mean, rest assured, friends, you know, we pay 100% attention to everything that's going on, but
we're not bored with our own stuff.
At times, we have no time to put things out in a timely fashion, and we end up doing it at like 2 in the morning.
Yes.
So we are understandably tired, all things considered. If you want us to list off every single thing we do, we can certainly be, you know, a little repetitive and redundant. But if, you know, you just want to take into account that you know, that yawning has this unprofessional thing going on to it, we can certainly speak about that. And also, hearing the pages of a book turning, I don't understand what the problem with referencing a book is. I mean, any genius...
We do say that, and we do that.
Yeah.
We explicitly tell you when we're taking books.
Well, we also...
I mean, not taking, but like when we're looking at books for reference, when we have a website, we always post them for references. Because again, I mean, first of all, we're humble enough to admit that we don't know everything in the world, so we're going to have to look at references.
Well, even a person who knew everything in the world is going to use a reference book every
so
often.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like,
and
you can't keep it on
your
brain.
Another point is that we're trying to get everyone to read as much as possible, both beginner books and individual books, big tomes that lead to like, series, intermediate and advanced material. I mean, we don't expect you to jump into The Golden Dawn by Israel Regardi like the first day you do this.
No.
You'll never get these concepts.
Yes.
You need to really study and hone certain things that, you know, we have been doing this kind of work for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to sit here and stroke our own ego. This isn't really the purpose, but there is something to be said about having a level of respect and understanding for the time it takes to really put in the best concentrated amount of information that we can. And again, having reference. I mean, even teachers and educators have references. I've worked in college setting before. I have many friends that work in the educational system, both in the mainstream and the privatized sectors, which in their differences have their united forms of thinking, which is, you know, using other people.
Well, that's what I meant, is that, you know, everyone has references for things, regardless of how much you know, of how much you've studied. I mean, witches have grimoires for a reason. It's hard to keep all these things in your head at one time. I don't think humans are meant to do that. I think, you know, that's what reference books are for. It joggles your memory, and you're like, oh, okay, yes, I remember that. You know, that's something that I can now expand on. And also,
there's something to be said about repetition. I mean, read a book, you never read a book just once, especially a very intense guide to something so potentially dangerous as magic.
Yes, and we, of course, love our show, and any thing that you might hear that's yawning is, again, because we're tired and doing this at 2 a.m. But it shows that we love you guys because we want to get this out to you. And again, you know, whenever we're late, we do apologize. Like Andrea was saying, we have a lot of things going on, and I want to work on a better schedule to get back to in the beginning when we were able to do this every week. And we just have to start stockpiling, I think, a couple episodes. So in case something does come up that we're able to still get it out for you on time. It's just our recording schedule gets a little wonky when Andrea has vocal performances, or we have to do a last minute show, or, you know, just things like that. But don't ever think that it's because we don't care. We absolutely love this podcast. We love our listeners and everyone that supports us. So we are doing our best.
In case we aren't making that abundantly clear.
Yes.
Now, yes. So to reiterate, if you disagree, or if you think we're flat out wrong about something, or there is something you think we can improve on, or anything really, just anything at all, mm-hmm. please email us either all together or individually. If you want to do it in front of people and try to, you know, show off, that's, you know, that's fine too, if you want to stroke your own ego. But if you want to keep this, if you want to keep it civil, or you want to even keep it on an individual basis, please email us. We will always get to things when it is we can, yes. and we will give it the proper attention that it deserves.
Yeah. And we are all in this together, friends. We appreciate that you care so much to say, hey, let's improve something here. And we've had that happen. People have messaged us privately and been like, oh, you just have to adjust your information. Like, here's something that's more accurate or whatever. We had that back a couple months ago. And again, thank you to that person who did that, because we want to be accurate. We want to show that this is important, that this is something that, you know, we study, and we want to, I mean, again, we want to learn as much as possible, and we're never going to know everything in the world. So we're always learning. And
let's not get carried away.
Oh my God.
And there's my joke for the day.
And that, but that's the point of life, is to always be learning. So that's yes. That's our goal. But yeah, so thank you for listening to our whole
That being
beginning.
Said, yeah, sorry about that. We just want to make this abundantly clear.
I think so we have.
So yes, Mercuralia.
Mm-hmm.
In case anyone hasn't noticed, the suffix, the little part that is consistent in most Roman celebrations, especially particular deities, is the word alia. There is a many reasons for that. Alia can just like roughly translate to, like, it says festival or special time. It's a word that kind of predates the word, an alternative to the word holiday, you know, holy day. Many meanings, as many meanings in Romance languages has. Now, in order to understand the background of Mercuralia, we must talk about Mercury as a deity as a whole, where he allies with the Roman deity of
Greek, you mean?
I said Roman again, yeah. Didn't I? Wow. where he allies with the Greek deity Hermes, where it is they differ. There are exclusive lore and writings about Mercury. The differences that I've seen in particular is that Hermes is the emphasis on the messenger god, whereas though Mercury is a messenger god, he tends to be a little bit more, like, the emphasis on the trickster aspect seems to be a little bit more intense. Emphasis on, he seems to be more on a level with Jupiter and Mars and the other deities, as opposed to simply a messenger in this, you know, in like a particular style hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. And he also has different, again, like, purposes. So with Mercury, it said that he took Proserpina or Persephone down to Hades. So he was very directly involved with that story, whereas in the Greek myth, he is a little less so.
Yes.
And
which
he's
is
not
very interesting,
yes,
to say the least.
Yes, and I mean, it's so interesting because Mercury and Hermes also sometimes are so indistinguishable from each other, or they'll have very similar myths and it'll just change the name, which honestly is something confusing to me when I research Greek mythology, because I'll be going through a story or I'll search up Hermes, but a Mercury story will come up and it's like the same thing, just the names are changed. So then I'm like, okay, well, what was the original, you know? And so then you have to go back and you have to study, and, you know, it happens a lot with lesser known stories. You're just like, okay, well, which one came first? The Roman, the Greek one? Well, the Greek one would come first, but
yes.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like, okay, like in this story, like, did they just borrow from the Greek and then change the name? Or did the Romans expand upon the myth? Or, you know, like, how does that kind of work?
It's very interesting. And we must, you know, a lot of people, when they think of these deities, friends, you know, and they, oh, the Romans just stole and allied at everything. a lot of people tend to have the image in their head that Greece was its own separate country, and
and
Rome and Italy were their own separate country, and that's really not the case. There were so many Greeks in Italy and so many Italians in Greece.
Well, there's a lot of cultural diffusion happening.
Yes.
So
they're just all tutelary deities.
Yeah, and I mean, to make, you know, also they're both near the same kind of area of the world, so it makes sense that their gods and goddesses have similar functions. You know, I mean, especially it happens with like Demeter and other gods and goddesses too. It's like, okay, yeah, they are in charge of similar things. Like a lot of people, like goddesses are fertility or, you know, wisdom or hunting. And those are all aspects that existed in a lot of cultures back then. Everyone needed a fertility goddess or a god of war, or, you know, so it would make sense that similar themes would come up. Now with Mercury, he is the Roman god of commerce and traders, merchants. He's often a mediator. So that's, again, with the communication.
Hence, we know why there's a reason why the Romans dedicated the planet to him.
Actually, you know, it's funny because since that's the closest planet, the Greeks saw the planet of Mercury, because you can see it with your naked eye sometimes. The daytime one was Apollo, and the nighttime one was Hermes.
Yes.
So they thought it was two planets, and then in Rome, they saw it just as Mercury, and other cultures, like Babylonian, I believe, saw it also just as the planet Mercury, not the god. They had a different name for him.
It's kind of interesting because
it is. You know,
Apollo, a lot of people tend to think he's a sun deity, but he's actually a star deity, another bright
a sky
light.
God,
in the,
yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Apollo is certainly different than Helios.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with Apollo is he's called Apollo regardless if he's in Roman or Greek mythology. So sometimes he is in stories about a sun god. He has properties of the sun. He drags the sun across the sky with his chariot. In other things, he's more of a star, more celestial, or, you know, and for some reason, we still haven't figured out why Apollo is the only one to not have a name change. Like, they were just like, no, we're gonna keep it.
Well, there are a few, but Apollo is certainly the most notable. But his sister, for some reason, has a Roman counterpart. You know, so mm-hmm. It's either Apollo and Diana or Apollo and Artemis. So it begs the question, how many deities were allied and just have different names versus deities that are actually different? Because
like,
Aphrodite and Venus, Aphrodite and Venus, in my personal experience, are very different. And we've stated that before, but I have a funny feeling that Artemis and Diana might be the same deity.
And, you know, again, they have associations with the moon goddess. So there's always debate as to which, you know, goddesses belong to that. And could you have an Artemis and Diana be a part of a triple moon goddess while still being two separate entities? It's a whole lot of stuff.
With Mercury, so we'll stay back on this, we'll redirect.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
There are also other things that have to do with Mercury, which is why it makes sense that he got allied with an idea of a devil at the crossroads, because one, he is a deity of the crossroads, a deity of the east related to the element of wind.
I feel like you always get into this stuff really quick because you just love to talk about devil characters.
I do love to. Well, yes. Well, it's absolutely fascinating. It makes it all, it brings it all together.
We didn't even get to the rest of the stuff yet, and you're just bam, right to that.
Oh, well, I just want to state his other things that come along with him. Financial gain as a whole, you can actually do spells in combination with Mercury and Jupiter in that regard.
And
for
having
sort of
a little statue
gain
of him in your store would probably be wonderful. Kind of like the Maneki Nekos.
Yes, that's why.
Whenever, Roman version.
Whenever possible, we are trying to bring our statue of Mercury around. The past few events have just been a little either cluttered or raining.
Yes.
I'd like to keep
him
the
dry?
Art that, yes. the art that represents them. Very lovely. He is also a god of eloquence, rhetoric, you know, the ways of thinking that led to the genius of the Greek philosophers and the later Roman philosophers such as Seneca. Communication, divination, especially divination that is a bit more direct.
And also the god of travelers and thieves.
Yes, thieves. See, yeah, you beat me to it. I was about to say that. Yes, a deity of thieves. So it shows
Robin Hood. His
ambiguity, you know, his ambivalence towards morality and ethics.
You know what's funny? He's almost a little like a touch of low key.
Yes. Yeah, definitely a touch. Like a very, a much more stoic version of Loki.
Yeah, just that little smattering of like playful mischievousness.
Which is interesting because if Odin has his trickster sides and many people don't. Many people just see him as the wise, quiet old man. But if anyone who reads the Edda will certainly know that Odin had his trickster sides that were very rooted in... And being charming, you know, a very fine line between charming and sinister.
And Mercury has a history with Apollo. He always likes to play jokes on Apollo a lot, which, you know, I feel like a taste of your own medicine because, you know, Apollo likes to also kind of mess with people, so.
Well, he filleted Pan, didn't he?
That, we're going to do that as a story because that's one of my favorite mythology stories. And that makes me sound like a psycho. But I just think it's hilarious in a really horrible, dark, and twisty way.
Mercury is also a god of luck, so you can, you know, for you people who like to gamble occasionally, we are never supporting any bad habits. My father had a gambling addiction. It's not a good thing. But yes, it's something you can do.
You can do it in moderation.
Yep. And so, yes. Trickery and, believe it or not, boundaries. So if you're trying to set particular boundaries or even shielding spells, he can help you in a very particular way that is boundaries that are rooted in communication, not necessarily rooted in, like, defense in the ways that, let's say, Mars or Saturn would do. Mm-hmm. So it's all the particular type of energy that you were trying to work with. He is considered the son of Maia, who was the daughter of the Titan Atlas and Jupiter in Roman mythology.
Yes, and she's the goddess of the plains.
Yes. A big thing that connects Mercury and Hermes together is the one particular symbol that they both hold, which is, of course, the caduceus. The caduceus, as we've seen it before, is the two snakes in very kundalini-like fashion coming up together between the particular, you know,
it's like the medical symbol.
Well, actually, so I'm here to dispel a common myth that actually shouldn't be used as a medical symbol. They often have mixed that one up with the symbol of the other the Greek healer deity.
Yes.
Whose name is escaping me right now. Why is that?
There's also, a Greek.
Oh, yes, the rod of Asclepius.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's like that, but it's not.
Yes, if you ever see, the rod of Asclepius is singular and only has one snake slithering upward, whereas the caduceus is two snakes in kundalini-like fashion, leading to angel-like wings in the center of a pole. Sometimes that pole kind of is adorned in a particular way.
Has wings on it, much like he has wings on his feet.
Yes. So to really imply there's divinity, the speed, yes, the wings on the feet, which imply, you know, his ability as a traveler swiftness. To run through dimensions.
And his Roman name, Mercurius, is probably
Mercurius,
probably derived from the Latin word for merchandise, which makes a lot of sense.
Yes. It's incredible. And there is also a reason why in Latin, if you ever hear it. So for those Italian speakers, mercoledì, you know, for Wednesday, depending on the dialect.
Yeah, miércoles in Spanish. I said that horribly, but you know what I mean.
No, miércoles.
Yeah, I just don't have a Spanish accent. I got to work on my accents.
His symbol, the caduceus, is very layered and has to do with a lot of higher wisdom. You know, finding yourself to the top, things going away, coming back together. We can actually do a whole episode on the caduceus in and of itself. It's has such a layered way of thinking. But it also is, you know, theoretically his magic scepter.
Yes.
And, you know, can open dimensions. There's many things that I don't think people know about this particular symbol. But yes.
And he, a similarity he does share with Hermes. He was known to escort the dead to the underworld, and he apparently fathered twins who became the guardian gods of Rome. So there was a temple honoring him built around 495 BCE, and it stood on the southwest slope of Aventine Hill near the Circus Maximus. So we were actually over there, which is pretty cool.
Very much so.
And, I mean, just in case, I'm sure when this comes out, you'll know what the Wednesday is, but it's May 15th.
Yes.
So it's always May 15th.
Yes. It just happened to fall on a Wednesday, so it'll be very powerful.
Yes.
I actually have an appointment that day in the city that is very important, so unfortunately, we can't celebrate that day. But what I'm going to do is right at 12 o'clock, which is the hour of Mercury, because 12 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock midnight when Wednesday begins is the hour at the beginning of the day. You can do a ritual right then and there. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but keep the things in mind for that day. Maybe read a book. Maybe read a book on linguistics in particular.
Mm. Maybe get some Nike shoes.
Yes.
I don't know. What was I going to say?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Derailed you.
No, it's okay. I was going to say something about that day. Oh, I was just going to say that you can look back in our correspondences of magical timing.
Yes.
For anyone that wants to learn more about the hours of when to do things, I myself, it just stresses me out at this point in my life, but I will be very on top of that at some point. But right now I just want to get the days down and then I'll get the hours down.
it gets easier when you learn it. It's all a system. You know,
it took
me a while to get it, but once I got it, it was like,
This
is very simple. And it actually makes a lot of sense when you connect it to things like sacred geometry, numerology. This is all incredibly elaborate, friends. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about this, again, from a more philosophical standpoint in the future.
Yes, and his festival day that we celebrate on May 15th commemorates the founding of his temple. So a cult paid homage to him outside of the city of Rome in Campania and Latium.
Let me see.
Latium? It's a law. It's like...
Yes. Latium.
Yeah.
Yeah, just more pure vowel on the U vowel.
I'll get there with the Latin and the Italian.
There is no schwa in Latin.
He also has cults dedicated to him in Gaul, or had, rather, in Gaul and Britain.
There's not a lot of Gauls walking around anymore.
No, I mean, well, you know, it's just anyone in France, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, combined with the Italians and even, you know, certain parts of, when we get, I think they went as far as Armenia.
Possibly, yep. And his catechism was given to him by Apollo, in Greek mythology, anyway.
This is when we start alighting into things.
Again,
Apollo,
it goes back and forth.
It's universal between the two pantheons.
Yes. And he also has a broad-brimmed hat, the Parasis, and he carried a purse, so a symbol of his duties of commerce and profits. You know, you have to have a purse to have your coins in.
The messenger bag. It's also why when
the messenger bag. Yes.
It's also why when you see a lot of...
See, so don't worry about merces, or otherwise known as man purses. It's totally cool to have a bag, because Mercury doesn't.
Yes. Yeah, and Mercury can literally drive you to hell, so...
I wouldn't mess with him.
I don't think he's to be trifled with. But that's also, again, why a lot of other devil-like, you know, people from stories, in certain depictions and stories like Pantrodowski and Faust and all that, is that these devils often are depicted having a messenger bag. I mean, for God's sake, you can look at even SpongeBob with the Flying Dutchman. The messenger bag is also the soul bag. There is a reason for it.
You gotta have a place to put your souls, man.
Also, for those of you who work with spirit animals, animals that particularly have to do with Mercury are the tortoise, the ram, and the rooster. Aww. Obviously, when we think of tortoise, we think of the tortoise and the hare. The slow and steady wins the race, but eventually get there. The message always gets there.
And you know, it's
the
funny
ram.
It's funny that you say that tortoises are associated with him, because that's actually in one of the myth stories that I want to read. It's a good thing. I'm saying it's good that you brought it up, because we can make this connection. He fashions a lyre out of a tortoise shell. Probably why he's associated with tortoise.
Wow, how did I forget that? That was one of the more straightforward signs of the lore.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, when I want to find certain stories, because I like reading the stories whenever we do podcasts about certain deities, and so I was looking up ones specifically for Mercury, and that was one of the ones that came up. But yeah, sometimes it can be really hard to find very, like, clear-cut stories for certain deities. But that was one of them. So, like I said, him and Apollo have an interesting past. He's given him the staff that he used, but they also have, like, a kind of a back-and-forth thing happening.
yes. So,
did you want me to do one of the stories, or did you want to talk about something first?
I said, with the tortoise, the ram and the rooster are actually a particular type of fertility symbol. So it's interesting that it aligns with him, because not many people actually think of Mercury as a fertility deity, but
because he goes between life and death.
I would argue something crossroads related.
Yeah.
That's, Probably a little, if you want to, if you're doing ceremonial magic surrounding traits that you'd like to adopt into your baby, which rides lines, friends, approach with caution. But yeah. As long as you really study all aspects of what it is that can do, it can certainly come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
There is, yes, a wide variety of symbolism that surround the spirit animals of the tortoise, the ram, and the rooster.
And if you have a tortoise, you can name him Mercury.
Mercury, yes, no, that would actually be quite appropriate. He was also,
Oh my God, I can't believe we didn't make this joke yet. You're gonna know it when I say it.
Oh, while I'm remembering my next part.
He's also the god of shepherds.
Makes sense.
And any joke? Rolf and Ed and Eddie.
You're damn the son of a shepherd.
That's exactly what I thought.
Oh, okay. Well, and then it also, see, that's interesting to me also, because if you go to other crossroad entities, when you even think of Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, a shepherd, yeah.
Yeah, the shepherd, and once shepherds and butchers, much like the quote going in my book, the only thing... Everyone hates the shepherd and the butcher till they need them, but the thing is, they have a lot in common, as they tend to dictate the herd. They're the only things that dictate the herd.
And before we continue on, we're going to take a quick commercial break, because it is about halfway through the episode. So, we'll be back soon. Okay, so welcome back. We're going to start off the second half with a little story about Mercury, so one of his myths. Now, according to the Roman poet Ovid in Metamorphoses, Mercury had made a trip with Jupiter. They were dressed as peasants, and they came to a small village, where they were dismissed rudely by its inhabitants. However, they knocked on the door of the small home of Baucis and Philemon. Although extremely poor, the couple, unaware of who their guests were, shared what little food and drink they possessed with the weary travelers. They were even willing to kill their only goose. Upon revealing themselves to the old couple, Jupiter wanted to reward them. However, they only had one wish, that they would die together. Even though he destroyed the rest of the village, the king of the gods honored their wishes. But until that day arrived, he made them caretakers of a temple he built on the site of their old home. So, just a quick story about, you know, showing that Mercury travels with Jupiter a lot. He is his son. And, I mean, it sounds really similar to some other, religious stories that I've heard as well, where gods come into certain towns or they talk to certain people. And when they're mistreated, things don't go very well. And it also kind of reminds me of with Jesus, where it's kind of like, you know, treat your neighbor as you want to be treated, and to always treat everyone like they are Jesus, kind of, to like welcome them and treat them as if you would treat Jesus. So it's like a similar thing, I guess, you know, it's happened with gods before. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And there's also a story of him kind of doing that more thief trickstery sort of thing. So since he is the god of shepherds and thieves, Ovid also relays a story of Mercury, who was a master thief himself. That did start from a young age. A servant named Battus was watching a herd of mares in a pasture when he saw Mercury steal a herd of cattle and drive them into nearby woods. Mercury told Battus that if anyone inquired about the missing cattle, he should say he saw nothing. As a reward, the god gave the old man a heifer. Returning later in disguise, Mercury asked him if he had seen anything. After being promised a heifer and a bull if he talked, the old man revealed all. Angry, Mercury turned him to stone. So, definitely not somebody to cross. He doesn't mess around. Yeah, so then we can continue on with whatever you would like to say.
Yes, of course. You know, I actually, in skimming through a few references, I realized that you can actually celebrate Mercuralia anywhere from May 4th to the 15th.
Oh, and then even after that,
yeah, so that's even more.
Wow, and hey, we won something that has to do with like broadcasting and communication and bridging gaps all on May 4th.
That's very my.
Very symbolic for us.
Well, now I'm certainly bugging out a little bit, but yeah.
On a less related note, just after reading those stories, I seem to realize that Mercury is oddly associated with cows. So that could be another one.
Well, thank Shepard. I mean, well, Shepard. I mean, you wouldn't technically call it. You would technically call it. Yeah, Shepard.
A cowboy.
A cattle herder.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. You're just better off using an umbrella
term. Well,
there
is Hadestown. You know that musical.
Some people really
liked
that one, and some people really hated it.
We gotta watch it. We should just do a Patreon episode where we review it.
We review Hadestown.
I'm all about Hades, so any version of his stories I can get, I'll eat it up, and then I'll let you know what it's like.
I don't know, man. I think because of Disney's Hercules, people have this predisposition that it's just James Woods.
And that's the thing, is normally I'm not really pleased when things are historically inaccurate to, like, a detrimental degree, but James Woods is hilarious, and, like, just the character of Hades is just so entertaining that I can overlook that one.
But yes, I suppose we can get to, the individual aspects of celebrating this particular day. Not too much is known about this day, but, the one thing, that is consistent is that, this day is very big on communication, really making an effort to talk about things. So really ways that you can celebrate this, much like many other Sabbaths, but this one in particular, I'd say, talk philosophy. Talk rhetoric. Start...
Well, not rhetoric as in, like, building a cult.
No, like... yeah, well, I mean, you know, you do what you gotta do, but...
Just to clarify what you meant.
Yeah, no, to clarify,
as
yes.
In, like, to open minds.
Yes, open minds, open people up to new perspectives, talk about things in a respectful sort of setting, make an effort to do it if you've never done it before, or if you have a confrontational nature, or just have really bad experience doing this, try to start to have a new experience in Mercury's honor.
Really random question, what's May's birthstone again?
Emerald.
I was gonna say it is Emerald. Okay, I wonder if that, well, I mean, it's definitely a wealthy... It's associated with wealth and, like, prosperity. I'm just trying to figure out any other things we can align with Mercury.
Oh, well, I mean...
Emerald and green and money. Yay, well, prosperity.
The thing about Emerald is that you can always tell the truth. We've said this one before, that if an emerald turns cloudy while a person's wearing it, they're lying about something.
Ooh.
Or their energy is really god-awful.
It would have to be to turn a precious stone cloudy.
An exercise that I would recommend, be it in ritual setting or if you want to take things slow... Oh, how many friends you have, be it just one or a few, do this individually in groups of two. Just stare in each other's eyes. Don't waver for at least 5 minutes.
It's a hard exercise.
Yeah, someone put a time on the clock and see what you see. This is a perfect time to develop your intuitive skills and ask Mercury to really help resonate these ideas. It's a really good time for really focusing on divination. It is also a time to maybe ask him for things that surround your business. Really, especially getting your business out there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a publicist or, you know, people that help you with promotion, really asking Mercury what the answers are for that, you know, prayers to him in that regard. From an artistic standpoint, you could use vines or other any sort of medium possible. Really, make yourself a catechus.
That would be really cool. Yeah, ooh, you can
even
vines.
Yeah, you could do it. Or even, like, if you want to do, like, an arts and crafts sort of thing, and then, you know, burn it as an offering to him. Obviously something that won't give off fumes.
Yeah.
Or you can just, this could be your excuse to make that catechus. And then, who knows, you know, you can channel his energy in
whatever
a very different
like.
Way. Or make it as an offering to him.
Everyone loves arts and crafts, so.
Very much so. Really, you can use it as an excuse to develop a type of divination that you've never done before. So if you've never done, let's say, there's pyromancy, there's hydromancy, geomancy is really, it's really challenging because there's so many different types of it. Outside of the elements, you can try to reconnect to old forms of divination that were exclusive to Rome or Greece, anything Greco-Roman. His invocations, I mean, there are many. There's one in particular that's really nice. Hail to you, Mercury, fleet-footed messenger of the gods, man of the crossroads, in your many faces. Come down from, you could say, Mount Olympus, or come down from the heavens, or wherever, you know. Fly in from your mighty city of Roma. Arise up from the land of Kemet. Race across the land and sea with your legendary speed. And come and join us this day. There are plenty of hymns that exist. So it really uses as an opportunity to really, you know, write it or recite poetry that already exists. You know, it's really all about getting in an idea, in case we haven't made this abundantly clear through other episodes that have a similar fashion. But yes.
Yeah, so I will tell one last little mythology story, and then you can conclude with whatever you would like. But this is a very interesting story. So Mercury apparently had super strength as a baby, small child. I mean, he's a god, so I guess really should we be surprised. But he was able to do lots of things that your typical baby cannot. Other people might call him a changeling at this point. He has a lot of elements of what that is.
We already stated how he's a psychopomp, you know, so he guides spirits to the underworld. So that's that's something that many people don't know yet. That's the word, by the way, friends.
Psychopomp.
Psychopomp.
That's a weird word. So Mercury, as a small child, it's also kind of associated with Hermes as well. But Mercury built a lyre out of a tortoiseshell. And one night, he slipped away from his mother and spying Apollo's oxen grazing in a field, stole them. Seems to be a thing with him. He likes to just take away cattle. After eating two of them, as a baby, mind you, Mercury returned to his mother, like nothing happened. Upon finding his oxen missing and seeing how two of them had been eaten, Apollo realized who was the culprit and took the infant to Mount Olympus, where he was found guilty. Mercury was then forced to return the oxen, and he gave his lyre to Apollo to replace the missing oxen. So can you imagine as a baby, you just sneak out, eat two oxen, and then go home like nothing happened? And then Apollo has to be like, this baby stole my ox? And then Jupiter or Zeus is like, really? You let that happen? So Mercury has always been very thrifty ever since he was a babe.
Ah, oh, is that...
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Yeah, so if you want to read further on things that surround Mercury, a big key name to keep in mind is the Roman poet Ovid.
Yes, like I mentioned before. So
yes. So yeah, really. Oh, you did state his name. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be redundant. Then.
I just meant it like because I had.
Oh, did you state his name though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I must have checked out for a hot second then. Another thing you could do, especially if you're a business owner or if you're trying to get your business started, really ask for that sort of help, friends. A big thing that they do if you make holy water, specifically with the egregore that surrounds his energy, it would be a good time to sprinkle that holy water on your physical goods if you sell it. Or if you're an actor or, you know, an artist of some sort that, you know, as a medium, you know, like I as a vocal performer, would be a perfect time to do things that, you know, surround, you know, putting holy water on that particular body part that you use, or just maybe doing a specific bath that is centered around the herbs that surround Mercury. Not the poisonous ones, though. I believe that is decently comprehensive on this day. Would you say that there's anything else?
No, I think we did a good covering of him. I actually want to do an expansion on the Persephone and Hades episode in Patreon, I think. I might do a bonus episode, have people let me know what they'd like. Either way, the Patreon supporters and our coven would get it first if I decided to publish it to everyone. But Aria LaMontagne of Pop Culture Mythology told me about this really cool Tumblr post, and she sent it to me. And it's a very interesting take on, like, Persephone and Hades, and to see the different angles with which you can approach their story. So I'd love to, you know, share that with you guys. And thank you, Ari, for sharing that with me, because I absolutely love that story. And so maybe somewhere down the road, I will be able to read the, you know, hymn to Mercury. We can expand upon Mercury just in general when we find out more about him, if we just read more mythology about him. So let us know. We can always expand upon this. But I think for now, we did a good job of doing the basics. So this is a part of the episode where I'm just going to tell you guys about all the ways that you can help support us. You can connect to us. You can find us on Facebook. There's a Spellcast Podcast Facebook page and a private group.
I'm so sorry. I totally forgot.
P.S.
I didn't. I was talking about like the ritual baths before that you can make other ritual type of holy water.
Yes.
Bay leaves and bay laurel are incredibly associated with mercury. So you can literally just
boil
some of them in some water or in your bathtub or whatever. You can make that. That is a big thing. Really burning bay leaves is a really good offering to mercury. So
and
that's,
you can make a crown.
Yeah, you can make a crown of bay laurel, and that should be, a very, very powerful way that you can communicate through the, the higher chakras and allow that to kind of seep into you as above, so below.
And it makes sense because they use laurel crowns when you graduate in Italy. That's what you wear.
Yes.
So, you guys can find us on Facebook. The Spellcast Podcast page has our logo with the witch hat. And then the Facebook group right now has flowers and one of our talismans as the picture, just so you can differentiate. We also have Instagram is Witchy Page. Twitter is Spellcast Pod. I've put up some polls on there. We do some, really cool discussions and things like that on Twitter. I would love to hear from you guys to do another listener episode. We would love that. So if you want to email us, witchypage@gmail.com with your listener stories, anything witchy, occult, personal experiences, paranormal, all fair game. And you can also help support us on Patreon. So the Spellcast Coven gets really awesome perks. It goes from anywhere from $1 to like $15 a month. You can get things like tarot card readings, your own spell done. You can be a guest on the show. Really cool things. Plus, you guys get extra entries when we do giveaways. You also get little extra perks and bonus episodes. And we're doing a giveaway right now. So it's going to end on our anniversary of the podcast. Our 1-year anniversary is this Saturday, May 18th. So very exciting. And to celebrate that, we're doing the Truly Magical giveaway. So just be sure to find the original Instagram post. You can comment, tag a friend, and then share it. Patreon members get an extra entry. They get 2 entries automatically. Everyone else gets 1. But if you share it in your story, you can get bonus 1. So all the information is on the posts, all the rules, and you have to be following us on Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram, you can contact us through Facebook or Twitter, and you can share us then on whatever platform you're on, and I will count that towards the giveaway. It's just appreciated that you enter because we'd love to see, our listeners win something awesome. Now, it is a secret what the giveaway is. I will be posting hints on our social media about what you can expect, but we're going to announce the winner on our special episode on Saturday. We're going to have a bonus episode for our anniversary. Stay tuned to that as well, in addition to the normal Friday episode. Me and Andriel's other anniversary is on the 16th/17th. It's a weird thing. But yeah, that's Thursday, Friday. So there's a lot of anniversaries happening towards the end of the week. And there's also, if anyone is a local podcaster, so on Long Island or in the tri-state area, I have a really cool idea for a Halloween show coming up. And if you would love to be a part of it, I would love to have you. Also, if you're a local musician, we can talk about doing an intermission during the show. I want to get a bunch of podcasters together and really foster our community of indie podcasting. And what better time to have it than during Halloween, especially because we're a really cool witchy podcast. So that's a lot of info at the end of the show. But thank you guys for listening, as always. Thank you for your support. Thank you to all the podcasters like Ari and Melissa and Jen and just the paranormal chicks. You have Donna and Carrie and everyone, the Homance girls. We love all of you. Thank you for your support. And thank you to all the listeners as well. So that about wraps it up for this episode. So remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror.